Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, and Arizona. From boosted parlays to in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today to receive a $1,000 risk-free sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit to receive up to $500 in bonus cash. Head on over to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app today. And next, we're brought to you by Better Fantasy. Better Fantasy is a free-to-play app that allows you to bet on all your favorite NFL player props for a chance to win awesome prizes. Download the app today over at BetterFantasy.com/SGPN. That's B-E-T-T-O-R Fantasy.com/SGPN. And next, we're brought to you by Manscaped, the leaders in below-the-belt grooming. Head on over to Manscaped.com and use promo code SGP for 20% off your order and free shipping. And finally, we're brought to you by SoBet. Sign up to bet against your friends and join the social betting revolution at SoBet.io/SGPN. That's SoBet.io/SGPN. And of course, make sure to download the SGPN app. It's your home for all of our free picks and podcasts. You can get it right in the palm of your hands, wherever it is you download apps.
Howdy, hello, DeGenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 110. I'm going to dedicate this episode to Vanessa Demopolopoulos. I'll say her name right, is Demopolis, who not only won last night and made my co-host and myself look smart because we picked her to win. Not only did she win a bonus, but she revealed something that it harkens back to my co-host I just mentioned. It reminds me a lot of him, that she got so good at jiu-jitsu and being flexible from her career as an exotic dancer, which is exact same backstory as my associate co-host, as most of you know. So, you're not allowed to talk.
We need to clear the air. I was never an exotic dancer.
Not yet. You're not allowed to talk yet. So anyhow, this goes out to her. I don't know, we're going to edit out that voice you just heard because you're not allowed to hear that voice yet. So, and she was quite entertaining last night. So, 110 goes to her. The voice you're hearing right now that's not being edited out is the blonde fighter, Jeff Fox. I am, to differentiate who's who, I'm the one who's not the exotic dancer of the two people on the podcast. I'm the one that didn't do very good with my picks last. Well, actually, last night was a mediocre night for the mediocre boys, but I was a little more mediocre than my associate co-host. Let's bring him in now, because apparently he... This is the part after I introduce him where he debunks all the things that I say about him and claims that I have lie. I lie about all these things about him leading up to the introduction. What else can I tell you about him? I already told you his big secret, but I called him a charlatan on the SGPN board, and he didn't reply. So either that means, A, he agrees that he is a charlatan, or B, he doesn't know what that word means. So one or the other, or maybe both. You may know him as Gumby Freeland. Let's welcome to the stage,
All right, so I'm going to do my regular set of debunking. So first of all, you won't hear that voice edited out of the beginning, mostly because I'm the one who does the editing. So there's literally no chance of that happening. I do know what a charlatan is, but as I have pointed out to the slew of people on the Slack board, occasionally I'm really terrible at using social media or remembering to respond to things. And I just go absolutely silent because I was winning things last night and I wasn't even in the SGPN Slack, which was popping with people who were winning. And I read it all this morning while I was on the
toilet.
Even
the boss was in there.
Yeah, everybody was in there and everybody was winning. And I was like, I read it after the fact. And I was like, damn, I had like major FOMO. I was missing out on good shit. So everybody should get in the SGPN Slack, including myself, on fight nights because it's a damn good time. And then the last thing I wanted to share was, since you brought up Vanessa Demopoulos,
yep.
I just had this moment at the very beginning of that fight card yesterday where all three of the first people to win last night were all guests on the Top Turtle MMA podcast.
Oh, here's the Top Turtle.
Within the last 2 weeks. So yep. I would say that officially puts to bed the Top Turtle MMA curse, because three straight winners on a fight card and, you know, the main event winner as well, all being prior guests, is enough to perhaps say that that's – we can put that to bed, let's just say.
All right. You're not you bring it up so often, though. Obviously, you think it is a real thing, or you wouldn't.
Well, it's because you get ahead on – like. So you bring it up every single time it looks like it could be a thing. So if I don't bring it up every time it's clearly not a thing, the data out there is skewed, you know? Like, I have to bring it up to even out the amount of times it's brought up.
And you, what I thought when Vanessa Demopoulos jumped into Joe Rogan's arms, that's probably not the first time a stripper's jumped into Joe Rogan's arms.
But I mean, undoubtedly it's not. It is worth noting she's no longer a stripper, though. I do want to give her – you know, because she's done quite a bit to like shed that image off of herself. That it was like important that she quit it when she began taking, you know, she wanted MMA to be her full time career, and it was like a big step for her. And she's, you know, like really into. I saw an interview. It wasn't even with me. It was with somebody else about her really wanting to be a role model for young kids or something like that. It was important for her to sort of separate that part of herself out. But yeah, hell, she looked good. And we'll talk about her in a little while because damn, that was a crazy fight.
And she, maybe she shouldn't have written a book called The Stripper Bible if she doesn't want to be tied to that. But anyhow, I'm not degrading strippers by any means whatsoever, but it is like just the fact that these people have other jobs is like, I don't know. If I was the UFC, I'd be like, it doesn't look good on you, no matter what their other job is. The fact that all these, you act like you're the big time, yet all these athletes have to have second jobs just to survive is kind of silly. Like she made 12 grand is what she started at, which is more than the Contender Series people. They started 10 grand to show 10 grand to win. But she betting on herself, as we like to say around the SGPN studios, betting on herself worked, though, because she did hit the 50 grand bonus. But if she didn't hit the bonus, then she would have made like 28 grand before paying out all coaches and taxes and everything else last night.
Yeah, that's insane numbers. And we'll talk about a Contender Series guy who only made 20K last night a little bit later on, too. And it's just like, it's the most ridiculous thing. Yep. You know, this is the type of stuff that we hear about, like, single and double-A baseball players, you know, driving Ubers right in their free time and stuff like that so that they have enough money. And that's single and double-A baseball. That's playing baseball in the middle of Kansas somewhere. And instead, these guys are in Las Vegas on the biggest show of the year. That's what's going down. Craziness.
But it's still way more than they would make in any other promotion, pretty much. Bellator, you see the Bellator prelim people, they're making a couple grand, so it's still...
Some of them not even making a couple grand. Yeah. I saw 500 hundreds. To win and 500 to show yep. one time on a Bellator show.
Very true. You can actually... Here's a plug for me now. You can get all the pay stuff and last night's pay stuff over at MMA-Manifesto.com, my website. Last night wasn't... The purses were officially released by California because UFC hasn't been able to to stomp down that commission and get them not to release the actual info. So every other commission, or almost every other one, doesn't release official data, but we did get it last night. So you can see how poorly a lot of these people were made, or how poorly they speak, how poorly I speak, but how poorly some of these people paychecks were last night. I think the biggest question is, Dan's wife just went grocery shopping, and I want to know what's the best thing is. Best thing is that she bought, or a handful of the best things that she bought, because that's what this podcast is all about.
Yeah, I enjoy cylindrical meats. So she got cheddarwurst, which is maybe my all time favorite cylindrical meat.
Really? That, yeah. I know what it is. I don't think I ever had it even before I became a wussy vegan. Cheddarwurst.
Yeah, it's just a bratwurst with like cheddar injected into it. I mean, it's all in the name.
Ugh, I'm so glad I asked. So glad I asked. I also realized that your other husband over on Top Turtle, he used to always his big catchphrase was like something about how you guys don't mess around, you get right down to business, and you
don't ask
each other how your days were. And I'm thinking this podcast is the total opposite of that. Thanks to me, I friggin' ruin it all. Yeah. I think people want to hear this stuff, though.
I think there's definitely, and it's good because I don't think I could record the same show twice all the time. That would be insane. But yeah, I think the listenership is looking for a different thing in different places, and I like to provide content for all types of listeners.
But I'm thinking people, like our numbers say people listen, but I think they listen, but I don't think they're. Or they're hearing, but they're not listening to us, whatever that expression is, because they if people were waiting last night, it wasn't thanks to us.
I disagree.
I guess our recommended plays were okay and stuff like that.
Mine went 3-3.
It's true. I guess we go back to if you bet the same amount on every fight, on every card, you're going to lose money, because that's, again, what we proved last night. So. Yeah, I guess some people are picking and choosing. Plus, there's a lot of, okay, I lost that parlay. Okay, I'm going to start another parlay up right now for the night to try to get my money back. There's a lot of people chasing money.
Well, I think too, we also give people insight for props too. While we're you know, when we're picking winners for every single fight, you know, I mentioned when we were talking about Vanessa Demopoulos, I totally wouldn't have been surprised if she went out there and sub Silvana Gomez Juarez, whose jiu-jitsu defense looks terrible. And if you got a finish prop on her, you probably did really well, because even the under 2.5 rounds was at like +150. So I think I saw Vanessa Demopoulos inside the distance, even if you didn't pick sub straight up, but you picked just inside the distance, was like +275. So yeah, we give you those little tidbits.
It's true. We're amazing. We're so amazing. Let's let's get down to breaking down the card. But first, let me tell you about a couple of our sponsors. Plus, we have a new sponsor, which is very exciting. First of all, good old WinBet. We're still sponsored by WinBet, of course. Ready to win money and boost your odds? WinBet is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. We're bringing the excitement of Win Las Vegas to online sports betting and casino play. Exclusive rewards right at your fingertips. Get in all your favorite teams, players, and sports from NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, golf, MMA, WNBA, college football, and more. Plus, WinBet has some new bonuses. Bet $5, win $400 in free bets. Plus, make sure you check out the WinBets Build Your Own Bet boosted same-game parlays heading into the NFL Division Round weekend. Plus, obviously, NFL is going to roll on after this weekend, too. So make sure you check it out. Most of the boosts fall between 10 to 15%. Of the original price, so definitely check that out. Great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now at WinBet. For booster parlays to live in-game odds on every major sport, we have what you need to win. Ready to play? Sign up today to receive a special offer, risk-free $1,000 sports bet. Bet big, win bigger with WinBet. Download the WinBet app now or visit wynnbet.com. Plus, we are now sponsored by the mighty Manscaped. Support for the MMA Gambling Podcast is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. That rhymes amazing, whoever wrote this. Manscaped recently launched the ultimate men's hygiene bundle, the Performance Package. Join over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you, 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code SGP. Yes, you guessed it. at manscaped.com. If my math is correct, and normally it is, that's about 8 million balls they've helped out, Dan. I'm sure they helped out yours back when you were an exotic dancer. I'm sure you had to use Manscaped, correct?
I have never, nor will I ever be an exotic dancer. I feel like every single time you bring this up, I have to debunk it. I checked your math. It is correct.
Okay. That's good to know. So you don't have a story? You don't have a story about having to trim for your previous job, huh? They want a story about you.
My previous job was a concrete worker, and while in a carpenter. So while working in concrete and carpentry may not directly need Manscaped, there probably is still plenty of concrete workers who use Manscaped.
Was that your gimmick when you were dancing too, Dan? Like a hard hat and like a tool belt?
Sexy concrete worker.
Yeah, exactly. All right. The Performance Package 4.0 by Manscaped has arrived, and oh, man, is it a game changer. Inside this package, you'll find their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, weed whacker, ear and nose hair trimmer. I need that because I'm old now, so the hair is showing up in my ears and my nose. Crop preserver, and not my head. Crop preserver, ball deodorant, crop reviver toner, performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold your goodies. I say get it just for all the names they give them things. They make things very mysterious and interesting. You should check it out. First off, the Lawnmower 4.0. This trimmer is the future of grooming and, dare I say, the greatest ball trimmer ever. I dare say that. The fourth generation trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. Trademark, Dan. You can't steal that. Skin-safe is theirs. The Lawnmower 4.0 is waterproof and also has a 4,000K LED spotlight you need for a more precise shave, because this trimmer is waterproof. You can say goodbye to the mess on the bathroom floor. You thought that was good, but want to take it your grooming game, even further to the next level? The Performance Package 4.0 also includes the Weed Whacker nose and ear hair trimmer. Weed Whacker is also waterproof and provides proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps reduce nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate nose holes. Their crop preserver, ball deodorant, and crop reviver ball toner will change the way you approach your hygiene routine. Trust me when I say this, fellas, your balls will thank you if they could talk. Maybe some people's can. I'm not sure. Who am I to judge? Manscaped even threw in two free gifts to the Performance Package 4.0, the Manscaped Boxers and the Shed Travel Bag. Bring your comfort and boxes to another level. It's time to take care of yourself. So go to manscaped.com and get 20% off plus free shipping with code SGP, naturally. All right. We talked about your balls. We talked about Dan's cheddar worst. I think we can probably get into is it like millions of dollars every time you guys go grocery shopping like it is here?
Feeding two hungry boys. Yeah, it's absurd.
Yeah, and it's just nonstop. We go multiple times a week. It's just nonstop. We have to go again today, even though we just got groceries yesterday. So, yeah. Damn kids, they eat food. Let me tell you. That's why we have to make winning picks so we can feed our children. That's why you people have to go and go to our lovely sponsors and make sure they keep the lights on here at our studio so we can feed our children and our dogs that are barking in the background. All right. Pretty fun card last night, even though I wasn't too happy with my results. I was 5-6. Dan was 6-5. We did lose a couple fights, unfortunately. Rodolfo Vieira. He had to pull out. Did they say his wasn't weight cutting, was it?
No, it said he was something about an illness, but it also I saw one source that specified he was not COVID related.
Right. So that's what everyone has to say nowadays.
Yep. So it appears he wasn't able to make it, and then we also lost Elia Tapuria, to a weight cutting incident. He was 5 pounds away from the limit. The California State Athletic Commission told him he could no longer cut due to his vitals not being maybe so hot, and they pulled that fight in addition to telling him he couldn't cut weight.
Yeah, and that's, California doesn't play around with these things. They weigh the fighters before they step into the cage the next day too, so which is always interesting to see how much weight these guys and gals put on between weigh-ins and the fight. Usually it's usually about 10% or so. So like if you're a strawweight, you're putting on 10 to 15. If you're like a light heavyweight, you're putting on 20 or more. But I'm sure we're going to see some crazy weights when that's released, with people who really hydrate up after the weigh-ins. So yeah, so he wasn't even one taking short notice in the fight. It was Charles Jourdain, the Canadian, who was on he was on weight, taking the fight on short notice, and Topuria did not do his job correctly, unfortunately. So we lost those two. I think those two were, I'm going to say, they were two easy wins for us, right, Dan?
I think so. Yeah, I thought Rodolfo. Just say yes. Yeah, I thought Rodolfo would handle him pretty easily, and I thought Topuria was going to probably out grapple Jourdain, but Jourdain also hits pretty damn hard, so yeah. He wouldn't have shocked me in there with a good performance.
And Rodolfo was one of my props, or one of my preferred bets or recommended plays. I'm bouncing around on what we're going to call these. Maybe I'll have to come up with a catchy name for it. But let's break down the card. So this one took place, as Dan mentioned, in California at the Honda Center. We had 70,387 people in the crowd. Most of them apparently were UFC fighters because they were showing fighters like every 5 seconds in the crowd.
Yeah, it did seem like there were a lot of fighters there, but that makes sense too, though. It's like one of the first live shows in a long time, especially on the West Coast, where there's a lot of different teams training right there. Yep. Either in California or, you know, Nevada's not terribly, terribly far away. Right. There's a whole bunch of teams in Arizona too, in New Mexico. So again, that, you know, being in Southern California makes even more sense for them. So yeah, I'm not surprised that there were, you know, hundreds of fighters in the stands, as well as all of the guys from Jackass.
Oh, I didn't see that. That's, yeah, the new movie's coming out and Francis Ngannou is in it. Are you a fan, Dan, of Jackass?
I never really was. I think I saw the first one when it was in theaters because I was like just old enough to see an R-rated movie at that time. And as a matter of fact, I'm fairly certain that's the first R-rated movie I saw in a theater. I don't know. I get the appeal of them, but it's maybe – I've said the same thing about South Park. I understand that people like it and it's a thing that people like. It's just not I'm not the intended audience for that.
Dan is far too highbrow. How many degrees do you have, Dan? 3 degrees or something ridiculous like that?
I do have 3 degrees, yes.
That's why he knows what a charlatan is. And I'm not talking about the band. I'm talking about what I accuse Dan of being, which he proves that he is not because he beat me last night. So, all right, we'll start at the top. And then we'll go down to the bottom as we do. I whiffed on the main event. Dan hit it. He just hit it, but he got plus 120 for a defending champion, which you do not usually get numbers that nice. I think that's part of the reason why you took him, right? Because the number was so nice.
It was part of the reason. I think even at pick'em odds, I probably still would have gone with Francis. But, you know, like it was one of those ones where if it was posted at pick'em odds and we were sitting here trying to make a pick, I think I'd sit there and debate it a little bit harder, but once the odds started coming back positive on Ngannou, I didn't even have to think about it anymore, right? Like, I already kind of thought he was going to win, and I was going to have to convince myself that Surreal would not be able to deal with standing in front of him for 25 minutes. And this is the craziest part. He did!
Mm-hmm. Like, he did.
Like, my analysis never, ever in my wildest dreams would have run through. Yeah, but what if Surreal tires a little bit and Francis's wrestling takes over? Do you know how many takedowns Francis had in the UFC leading into that fight?
Did he have any official takedowns?
They gave him one for the Stipe fight when he changed angles, and it was kind of more of a mat return probably in all actuality. But he got credited with one takedown against Stipe. He was credited for 4 last night, plus a position reversal that led him to the top. And that is – it's just so wild to me that he – it also wasn't just, like, fluky either. Like, his wrestling really looked good.
Yep. They were claiming his jiu-jitsu was looking good, which I think you could probably – I'm not the jiu-jitsu nerd of the podcast, Dan is, but I don't think his jiu-jitsu looked that great because – shortly after they said that, Gain popped up, of course, which is always what happens when Joe Rogan compliments someone or says the submission is locked in. So
there were a couple of things he did that I would say were good, but I would say I was more disappointed with how Surreal looked than I was feeling good about how Francis looked. Like, there were a couple of times where he, like, locked up one of Surreal's legs because Surreal just, like, left it in the wrong spot and, like, allowed himself to be held down worse. Surreal seemed really okay with being in a half guard, which is a bad position for a guy who just wants to ground and pound you. Right, yep. Because Francis wasn't going to go for an arm triangle choke, although I guess he kind of did at one point. So a lot of Surreal's choices were almost like he was defending jiu-jitsu and, like, opening himself up to ground and pound, which is dumb. Now, granted, Francis didn't really give us ground and pound, but I'll also say this. Surreal's choice to go for a leg lock in the freaking fifth round probably cost him the fight. He probably lost his chance at the championship by going for a heel hook. And I'll say this, too. I don't even necessarily blame him. I blame Ferdinand Lopez in that moment, his coach, because do you know in between the fourth and fifth round, his coach told him he was losing that fight and needed to finish?
No, I didn't hear that. I missed the first couple minutes of the last round also. I just saw it when Ngannou reversed the position. So Game was on top, correct? And then
he went for a heel hook, fell back. He was in on some decent positions, but I think it was a point where he really sold out thinking he needed it. And I mean, the scorecards have proven it. Like, if he just stayed on top, and granted, he might not have stayed on top, but, like, if he just stayed on top, landed a little bit of ground, he would have won that fifth round. It would have been enough for the fight.
Split decision. Yeah, split decision it would have been, because it was it came down the last round. One judge had Ngannou ahead, regardless of the fifth round, but the other two did not. So, yeah, Game would have won a split decision. So the coach was kind of correct, because one card had Ngannou ahead. I thought I wasn't doing official scoring or even, you know, I wasn't watching it, paying attention to how I would score it, but I had it 2-2 going into the last round as well.
Yeah, I had been scoring it, but mostly because I mentally had given Surreal the first two rounds and was like, oh, this is over. And then I was like, oh, Francis probably won that third. Weird. Could he do it again? And then he did it again. So I was like, oh, yeah, this is definitely tied 2-2. And, of course, I sometimes browse the Twitter accounts of a couple of people whose opinions I respect as far as scorecards go to see if they feel the same way, too. And they all did. It was pretty much everybody in agreement that it was 2-2 going into that last round, with the exception of Ferdinand Lopez, who decided that he was going to scare his fighter into going for a heel hook he shouldn't.
I always pay attention to the live odds over everything else, because bookies know what's going on, and they seem to always have the correct line. So depending on what the live odds are is how I a lot of times decide who if my view on who's winning the fight is the correct one or not. So Dan got this pick right. I got it wrong, but we both got the analysis wrong, as did everyone. I said as a joke.
If anybody out there can show me proper analysis of this fight that you wrote or had on your podcast or anything from beforehand, I'll tip my cap to you, because that is an obscene thing to predict. But man, it was fun to watch.
You can go into the SGPN Slack, and I wrote it as a joke. I said it's probably going to end up Ngannou versus via decision, or Gain via KO, the opposite of what we're all predicting, and that's what it was. So also, if you went in the Slack a few hours before the fight, you would have got the intel that Ngannou had a knee injury. Someone shared in there that he had knee injury, and it looked like it actually was true, because he had two knee sleeves on, and apparently he's got both his knees are messed up, I think. He says he needs surgery.
Yeah, MCL and ACL, and it's funny, too, because I would say, you know, when we talked a little bit about the likelihood that this is his last fight in the UFC and he's going to move on, and you know, there's a whole lot of things pointing to that now. I'm definitely on the side that that's the last we saw Francis Ngannou in the UFC. But like, he has to wait out a year in order for him to be able to go elsewhere. He's got like a 1 year period where he's stuck with the UFC now. And you have to imagine 8 to 9 months of that is going to be recovery off of an ACL surgery. So he's not actually going to miss any paychecks he wouldn't have missed anyway. So, I mean, like, it almost plays perfectly into Francis' hands.
Yep. So you would have got that intel if you were in the SG Fan Slack, but if you had used that intel, you would have lost because Ngannou won regardless.
Or maybe that would have made you think he was going to wrestle nonstop.
Yeah, it's true.
You know who else did that, too? I thought about this. Do you know who tore I think it was their ACL and their meniscus in a fight and then proceeded to out-wrestle somebody in absurd fashion? That's how Conor McGregor beat Max Holloway back in the day.
And Dan was there. A young Dan Vreeland was in the crowd, were you not?
Yeah, I was, in fact. It's just crazy to think about. Like, two of the guys we think of as, like, some of the most feared strikers of all time went in fights with uncommonly good wrestling surrounding a knee injury. So props to Francis. He looked great.
Yeah, him. Imagine him being able to wrestle and do ground and pound. That would be like having Brock. He's like having maybe even scarier than having Brock Lesnar on top of you if he was actually skilled in that area, which looks like he's been working on it. But yeah, it's pretty frightening having someone that size with some ground skills. So you're predicting he is gone. He's going to be like Randy Couture. This is basically like the Wild West days where the champs would leave the UFC as champ and they'd end up getting stripped. That's what you think is going to happen here, do you?
Yeah, I do. I wanted to believe that like a big performance here, the UFC would just be like, ah, fuck it. We got to pay him. He's worth it for our bottom line. But I think a lot of things happened here. First of all, Francis went very public with this negotiation. And that is atypical of the people they usually bend to. You know, like some people have come out and said, like, I'm not real happy with the money situation. It gets ironed out. They come to some sort of agreement. But nobody's ever gone on Trevor Noah's show and talked about how much the pay sucks. Nobody is tweeting at – you know, boxers right now being like, well, at least I can get the bag if I go there. You know, like, it's not even like I want to test myself against the boxer. It's like, that's where I can be paid what I'm actually worth. So like him being so public and then the very obvious, petty as shit bullshit that Dana White was pulling at the end of the night where he wouldn't put the belt on Francis. He made Mick Maynard do it. And then on top of that, he wouldn't go to the press conference at all. So like, to me, it looks unsalvageable. The fact that he's got that knee injury gives Francis even more leverage. It's not like he's – like I said, it's not like he's losing paychecks. He's – you know, best case scenario, he could fight again in October. So what, he's given up 2 months paychecks in order to do this? And he's probably going to need those 2 months to figure out what he wants to do anyway. So they were probably already going to run an interim title fight in July with his knee injuries happening. So they're already going to have somebody rolled out as their champ. He's already going to have incentive to not take a pay cut because he's not desperate for the paycheck now. Yeah, I think this is a done deal. He's going to be elsewhere. It's a huge bummer to me as a big fan of Francis Ngannou and wanting him to see fight the best guys in the world. But ultimately, I think the only fight I'm like really bummed that we're not going to see is I would have liked to see him fight Jon Jones. But apart from that, you know, like he beat the shit out of Stipe. He beat the hell out of didn't beat the hell out of, but he convincingly beat Surreal Gain. I mean, I guess a rematch with Derek Lewis where they both don't look scared would have kind of been fun too. But like, you know, he's gonna go box and probably lose to Tyson Fury at some point in time and make more money than he ever dreamed of. And you know what? At the end of the day, I'm really happy for Francis Ngannou because like that's what that dude deserves. He deserves to get paid big bucks.
No more shoveling. He was a sand shoveler, was he not? Like,
yeah.
Like that's a job.
Yeah, it's a crazy story. I mean, like, the whole thing is a crazy story. I originally was going to suggest that people go read ESPN's article on his path to the UFC, because it is really well written right up until the end of the article where the guy outs himself as having known nothing about MMA for his whole life. But he's a really great storyteller about Francis's life. But at the end, he says Francis is in the middle of a contract dispute with the UFC, which has happened to other former champions such as Nate Cruz in Jorge Masvidal.
Yeah, that kind of ruins everything.
This got published at ESPN, dude. And I was like, yeah. What? How did this sneak through all the editors? Nobody even Googled the name Nate Cruz MMA and like just saw if anything came up. So bad. But the rest of the article is really well written. So I guess like ignore it when they start talking about MMA and just like enjoy the story, because the guy's probably actually a good narrative writer. He just, for some reason, they gave him an MMA story that he knows nothing fucking about.
That's funny. Yeah, if Ngannou thinks there's lots of money out there, I guess he can have a couple boxing matches until it's shown that he can't box, or maybe he can box, who knows? But yeah,
he can't box Tyson Fury. I'm just gonna get ahead of this for anybody out there who, and I'm not a huge boxing connoisseur, but like Tyson Fury is 850 times better of a boxer than Cyril Gane. And Cyril Gane was outboxing Francis Ngannou. So, yeah. I mean, like, draw your conclusions if you want. But, dude, like, Tyson Fury does whatever he wants to Francis.
And boxing is just one little aspect of MMA. It's like if the best hockey player thinking he could race a speed skater because he skates in his sport. Like, that type of thing. It's but anyhow, if people are willing to pay for it, I guess he can do it. But, yeah, he's not getting more than his – last night, he being Francis Ngannou, made $600,000, was his reported purse, plus $42,000 for the Venom cryptocurrency, that sponsorship, and then he would have got a cut of the pay-per-view. He's not getting that anywhere else in MMA.
Yeah, not in MMA. You're right. But, like, I mean, like, if you look at some of the purses for boxing, somebody his size with his kind of following, with – you know, all that, like, it wouldn't be absurd to see him making $20 million. So,
oh yeah,
you know, we're instead watching him, like, he's probably making over $1 million when you count in the pay-per-view points.
Yeah,
this
sure.
Probably this probably sold, you know, 700,000 pay-per-views, and he's probably getting a dollar off of all of them. So we're probably talking at the end of the day, he's close to $1.5 million. But like $1.5 million when you could be making 20, is pretty absurd.
Yeah, I guess you only need one or two boxing matches, and you and your kin and your kin's kin and your kin's kin are set for life. So, hate to see him go, but who knows? Maybe he won't really. He won't really leave. We've been through this.
Maybe we'll see him box once or twice next year, yeah. And then also fight Fedor.
Oh yes, there you go. There you go. As someone on Twitter mentioned, they hope he's in the front row of Bellator coming up on Friday or Saturday, I guess it is, when their heavyweight title is being decided. Someone hopes that he's sitting front row with the UFC belt on his shoulder. So someone else on Twitter mentioned, sorry, I'm not naming who mentioned these things because I can't remember, but mentioned that watch them make Lewis versus Tuivasa for the interim title, but we may have an interim, or we may have a real actually title fight coming up soon, so maybe it could be that fight. Who knows? Who should be fighting for the belt next?
I think whoever wins that fight will wind up fighting Stipe for it. Sure. I think most likely they're going to give Gane a step back. You know, because it's sort of ridiculous to have him fight for an interim title, not unify it, and then have him fight for an interim title. That looks like you're just trying to push him as a champ. And then, like, once he wins that interim title, you're just going to upgrade him to champ. It's going to feel really nasty. So I think he's got to go win another fight. I'd like to see him – he's probably going to fight somebody like Curtis Blaydes. You know, like, that feels right, and he's never fought Curtis Blaydes. So I'd line him right up for that fight. And then I think the title fight will definitely be the winner of – Derek Lewis and Tai Tuivasa in Stipe. That just makes sense to me. I mean, like, ultimately what they should really do, it should be Stipe and John Jones. But right. John Jones seems to be playing himself in some kind of weird way.
Imagine that.
Yeah, he's I don't even – I mean, we just got into all kinds of contract talk with Francis. I don't think there's much to be said of all that's going on with John Jones. But at the end of the day, yeah, my prediction is most likely Derek Lewis probably beats Tai Tuivasa and we see him fight Stipe, which is a fresh and fun matchup for me right now. I'd watch that.
And who predicted Derek Lewis, UFC champ, at the end of the year? Me.
You did. Although I had a lot of faith that Francis was still going to be there. And you know what? I will say there's a good chance on December 31st, Francis Ngannou is still holding that belt.
Yeah, sure. Sure. And it's going back to Gane, it's not like he's Mr. Excitement that they really want to push him as champion. A patient, cerebral heavyweight's not really what the brass seem to be looking for at the UFC. So I guess his name is pronounced Gane, not Gagne, because Gagne means win in French, and he did not win last night, Dan.
Hey.
Gagne did not Gagne. All right, so what, 40 minutes in, and we've talked about one fight so far? Are we 40 minutes in about?
Yeah, we're about that far. That's fine. Some of these we're going to fly through, though, because like the rest of this card, I mean, like, there are two fights with ranked fighters in it. That's it.
Yeah, that's true. It was a fun night, but yeah, very true. There wasn't a whole lot of consequential fights, at least not right at this point in the fighter's career. Let me tell you about something consequential to you. Degenerates Prop Swap. We're brought to you by Prop Swap, where America buys and sells sports bets. The NFL playoffs are in full swing, and prop swappers are cashing in, like Will from Arizona, who on Sunday night sold his $50 101 49ers Super Bowl ticket for $500 on Prop Swap. Will locked in his profit when he turned his $50 bet into $500. The buyer got great odds, and the seller made 10 times his bet. Prop Swap has thousands of buyers across the country, so you'll always find the best odds and collect the most money for your bets. Hurry and download the free PropSwap app today. PropSwap has fantastic features like filtering listed tickets based on the best value, a free activity feed to stay in the know with all the big sales and red-hot tickets for sale, a loyalty rewards program that turns your ticket sales into extra bonus cash, and a first deposit cash match. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit, and PropSwap will match your deposit up to $500. Join the real sports bettors on PropSwap, where America buys and sells sports bets. You can also meet the real degenerates and gamblers over at Better Fantasy. The fantasy season may be over, but the action is still coming on the Better Fantasy app. Download their free-to-play app today to bet on player props for the NFL playoffs. You can also enter their player prop pools and score big when you win. We love Better Fantasy because we can win awesome prizes and even raise some money for charity along the way, too. It's totally free-to-play. You'll earn better credits by completing challenges using to place your bets. Better Fantasy is available worldwide in all 50 states, so download the app today over at betterfantasy.com/SGPN. That's betorfantasy.com/SGPN. But no, that fight was not the only heavyweight fight, and it was not the best not the only championship fight and not the best championship fight of the night. That would have been the co-main event, which really impressed the boss, Sean Green, the SGPN head honcho. He was in the Slack raving about this fight. He must have some money on Deiveson Figueiredo. He must not listen to us like I suggested. He probably doesn't. Figueiredo did almost the impossible. He got his belt back. This is like I believe I said in the breakdown of this fight, this is a very, very rare thing, seeing a fighter win his belt back, he or she win their belt back, especially off of the person that beat them for the belt. But that's exactly what Deiveson Figueiredo did last night. 48-47, 48-47, 48-47 over Brandon Moreno. A very fun fight. And probably we're going to set – could we possibly see them fight four times in a row? It very well could be the case after last night. And Dan, both and I missed the pick. Thank you.
Yeah, I think they're going to fight again. The fact that Figueiredo brings it up right away seems to make sense. It is tied 1-1-1. I'll also say this, like, you know, it would feel really nasty to not give Brandon Moreno an instant rematch when he literally lost this fight by one round. And after giving Figueiredo one immediately after being choked out in the second, you know, right? Like, Figueiredo got toasted in the second fight. Immediate rematch, Moreno easily, just barely, ever so slightly edged out. And then you don't give them the rematch, like, ooh, man, that would feel bad. So, yeah, I think they got to run it back. I think it only makes sense. I'll also say this. I saw a lot of people complaining about the decision. I think they got it right. Even as somebody who picked Brandon Moreno to win, you know, like the way the rules read as far as scoring rounds is it's not about how many punches you land or how much time you dominate or how much position you dominate. It's about who does more work towards ending the fight in every given round. And you got to say with those knockdowns and the fact that he legitimately had Moreno seemingly stunned in a couple of them, you got to edge those rounds to Figueiredo. So, yeah, I had him 3-2. I was hoping the judges messed it up because I was pulling for Moreno. But, yeah, ultimately the right guy won there. And, you know, I appreciate him saying that he's ready to fight Moreno a fourth time in the interview. That's good stuff.
Yep, very true. So we had two underdogs win the belts. Nagano kept his belt at plus 120, and then we had Figueiredo plus 142. Like Dan said, I also had him win the fight. Basically, they were swapping rounds back and forth in my eyes. 1, 3, and 5 went to Figueiredo.
Yeah, I have to double. Like, I wasn't taking notes, but I was keeping track and going into that last round. I think I had it 2-2, and then I definitely scored the fifth for Figueiredo. So, yeah, that probably sounds right to me, but I can't remember exactly the way I had it. The only reason I remember the Francis one is because there was a turning point, right? Soon as he slammed him, it was like, oh, this is a different fight now. But this one, you're right. It was probably back and forth.
Yeah, Dan gets behind the curtain. Dan gets, like, blackout drunk when he watches these fights, so he doesn't remember much of what happens, right?
You are really into trying to slander my name as much as possible today. You're like, he's a drunk stripper.
what's wrong with both of those things? What's wrong with being drunk and a stripper? There's nothing wrong with
either of those things. I watched on the couch with my wife, so
so sweet.
Yeah,
I'm drinking Mountain Moonshine, right?
I was just furiously looking at my phone and making sure that my bets hit pretty well for football yesterday too. I had both money lines on the two underdogs yesterday, and at the time of taping right now, a money line on another underdog who may be knocking the Buccaneers out of the playoffs. So that was mostly my activity was just on a phone.
There you go. Canada's team is playing in a couple hours, and they're going to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. That would be Buffalo Bills, of course.
Canada's team.
it's the closest we got. They used to play in Toronto once in a while, so there you go. Now nothing crosses the border like that because we're in fun times once again. I know the pandemic's over in the States, but it's not over here. So lots of fun. All right, so we got actually, I did see some masks in the crowd last night, which I guess California's kind of liberal that way, right?
Yeah.
Does your wife have to wear a mask when she goes grocery shopping?
Oh, yeah.
You have those rules there, too?
We have mask mandates everywhere here.
Yeah. Okay. I was wondering, we do here. I was just wondering how it was in that state that Dan lives in. All right.
Yeah. When we went to the World Series, though, there wasn't a mask to be seen, though.
No?
No.
Well, you must have been happy with that because you're also an anti-mask or anti-vaxxer, right? as well as being a drunk and a stripper.
Man, you are giving me.
I'm trying.
We could go into talking about John Stockton in this episode too. Have you seen the recent stuff about John Stockton?
No. I
don't even know how to start summarizing it. I would just say Google John Stockton, but he's not allowed at Gonzaga basketball.
Oh, no, not him.
Yeah, it ain't pretty, dude. It ain't pretty. Like, part of it involves him claiming that there's like 150 pro athletes who've dropped dead on the playing surfaces, and it's just been covered up.
I see. He's not allowed to go to games. Man, he should be in MMA. He would fit right in, right?
Yeah. These guys love him.
Yeah, exactly. All right. This is not a masker, vaxxer show. This is the Crapple Over Dan show. I'm just doing this does this feel like a flat, like the old days? I feel like I'm much nicer to you now than I was.
It's because you started losing again. So you got to,
I was just going to say,
your ribbing has to start again.
I was just going to say, I got to
start
something.
You're down for the year now too, right?
I am. We're tied for the year. Yeah. We're tied for the year, but you're ahead money wise.
I'm in the money line. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm ahead, right, thinking that in the preferred picks too, I believe. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Just making sure we get all that in.
I'll get to it. Michel Pereira, a little bit wild. He had some wild moments last night against Andre Fiallo. Fiallo looked very good in that fight, but he kind of tired himself out, and Pereira didn't go away, and 29-28 win. I'm not sure if this really I still don't know if we can say that Michelle Pereira is actually good, or like maybe not good, but elite, or a top contender, because he was fighting a newcomer on short notice. But he, that's four straight wins now, I think, for him. So he did some crazy stuff. None of it really landed, but.
Yeah, he's. I mean, I guess the spinning, the summer, the Rolling Thunder. Did he hit a Rolling Thunder? He hit a Rolling Thunder. That sort of hit with his heel, kind of funky. I would say it's kind of what we've learned to expect from Michelle Pereira lately. It's safe to the point where he's winning, but is going to throw a little bit in for the fans anyway. But never in a spot where it's dangerous. He's getting much better at that. I will say he's definitely a top 15 welterweight. There's no way he's not. Even though this was against a guy who's a newcomer, Fiallo is really game and he looked good in there. Yep. And I'll be excited to see him fight again. But yeah, like Pereira, I think he's the real deal.
Who was he supposed to fight again before all this was set up?
He was supposed to fight Muslim Salikov.
Yeah, okay, that would have been a better matchup for him to see what he's made of. But anyhow, I'm all for him going onwards and upwards, because he's still fun to watch and did look good last night, as did my next. So we both hit that one easy. Next pick, I hit Dan. To be fair, he went out on the limb on an underdog, Cody Stamann, plus 160, I think mostly because his name's Mr. Wonderful, and you are a big Paul Orndorff fan, of course. But said Nurmagomedov, how do you say that name again, Dan?
Nurmagomedov.
I've made it so I really can't say it after all this joking around. The non-cousin of Habib, looked like Habib, guillotine choking Stamann, but he actually did most of his work on the feet leading into that, but very quickly, 47 seconds into the fight, and Nurmagomedov, his star, continues to be on the rise.
Yeah, and Stamann did what I thought he needed to do, which was to wrestle early, because I didn't think he was going to be able to hang striking very much, but it was a really sloppy takedown. I don't really quite know what went into that, but it was, I mean, he was basically tapping out before they were even on the mat, so
yep.
I don't think too much to be said. A lot of people talking about Sid Nurmagomedov as like a contender at bantamweight and like a sleeper, but like he did just recently lose to Raoni Barcelos, who we're going to talk about in a second, got his shit kicked last night.
Yep.
So I don't know if I'm still not sold on Sid Nurmagomedov. That's why I picked Cody Stamann, and I still don't think he did enough to prove to me that he's still elite.
And it's all because of the name, which is very silly. Like, because he's not even related. I guarantee all of this is because of his last name, though.
Yeah, I think people, I guarantee people who don't do enough film study or don't know the fighters well enough, they expected him to be the wrestler in this fight.
Well, he won via submission, so there you go. But if
there you go.
If his name was Syed Vreeland, people wouldn't be clamoring for him to be a top contender, right?
I don't think so. I will be honest. I really don't think so.
Child number three, perhaps? Is there going to be a child number three, and will it be Syed Vreeland?
No, hell no.
All right, fine.
Hell no on both those fronts.
There you go. Good man. So that's what we have back-to-back large favorites come through there. And then in the opener, because we had a bunch of shuffling around, the opener of the main card, I whiffed on a underdog, Trevin Giles, plus 112, because Michael Morales is the real deal. TKO punches. Round one, 4:06 into it. He netted Dan minus 140 money on that one.
And he was one of my preferred plays, and he looked exceptionally good. This is the guy who only made $20,000, by the way.
Yep.
Somehow didn't get a performance bonus for this. He deserved one, looked great, beat an 8 or 9 fight UFC veteran in his debut at 22 years old. Man, dude, this guy is special. I said there were three guys on the Contender Series that I am so high on, and this is definitely one of them. It's him, Jack Della Maddalena, who we'll talk about in a bit, and somebody we're going to talk about in 2 weeks who's about to fight. So, couldn't say enough good things about Morales.
Yep, I am on board now. So Dan hit three in the on the main card. Ngannou for the plus money, and then Pereira, Morales. I only hit Pereira and Nurmagomedov. So this is where Dan made edged ahead of me was the main card, because in the we ended up being all the same picks on the prelims after these fights have fell off and things got shuffled around. Victor Henry looked fantastic. Looked like a whirling dervish out there against Raoni Barcelos, who Dan and I both picked, Raoni Barcelos. But he got skunked 3-0. Victor Henry looked very good. He's a veteran. Let's keep it going for him, because he already beat a top guy, or a fairly good veteran, let's put that.
Yeah, Barcelos was ranked not all that long ago. So, yeah. You know, a huge win for Victor Henry. And also, I'll just say, in general, like, he's got wins over really legit competitors. Like, he's already beat Kyler Phillips, who's going to be on the pay-per-view in February. He's already beat Albert Morales, who isn't in the UFC anymore, but, like, was a former UFC fighter. So he's got, like, wins over real guys already. So to beat Barcelos at this stage in his career, like, real impressive. And in a way, I didn't expect him to. Like, he's got big, heavy hands, and I kind of expected he would maybe go in there and knock out Barcelos, and I'd be shocked by it. But, I mean, like, he put a pace on him. He was fast. He stuffed takedown attempts. I mean, he looked legit. I'll be interested to see what they do with him next.
Yeah, very, very true. Plus, he's – Victor and Henry are two trains in Thomas, so he's onward and upward for him. Are your children into Thomas, Dan?
No, thank God, no.
Really? God. Are your children allowed to watch TV, or are you trying to make them like you were as a child?
They don't watch too much.
No.
Occasionally when sports are on, they watch the sports that we're true. Watching. But then they also they watch a little bit of Spider-Man every day.
Spider-Man.
They like Spider-Man.
Okay, nothing wrong with that. All right, let's talk about Jack Della Maddalena as I tear apart the office here. -350 looked -3500 in that fight, but yeah, Rodriguez did not really look UFC caliber at all. Like, nothing about him looked up to standard. So Della Maddalena took care of him pretty quickly, under 3 minutes, 259 TKO punches, but he looked very good. I don't know if we can really gauge much off of this. He probably beat a better person on the Contender Series than he did in his actual UFC debut, though.
He 1,000% did, and I think I said that on Wednesday, too, when we broke down the fights. But I'll also say this. I'm not positive that Pete Rodriguez isn't UFC caliber. I think Jack Della Maddalena made him look stupid, but I also think he'd make just about anybody at, you know, the debuting level look stupid. His head movement was incredible this past weekend. Just, like, absolutely incredible. The way he moved out of the way of that punch from Pete Rodriguez, shuffled around, and then hit him from the side for the TKO, like, it was a thing of beauty. Like, he – and again, him and Michael Morales, the two guys – two of the three guys I'm the most jacked up on from last year's Contender Series, and he looked incredible. So, props to Jack Della Maddalena.
25 years young, Aussie. So he's onward and upward, which I'm saying far too often in this podcast. But if someone's doing a drinking game and onward and upward is on it, they are just like Dan on a fight night at this point. All right, moving on. See, I got you again. Tony Gravely, or Gravely, I guess is how it is, beat Simon Oliveira, who we weren't too jacked about. He was not one of the big three off the Contender Series that we're excited about. He seems to like guillotines, Dan, because that's all he did last night was try to guillotine Tony Gravely.
That man likes going for a guillotine. It's funny too, because when we broke it down, you were like, I don't know, it's kind of alarming that Tony Gravely has lost by submission a bunch of times and Simon Oliveira always gets subs. And I was like, yeah, but, like, he's smart enough not to get caught by this guy. And he was, because the dude went for him 100 times and, like, didn't disguise him any differently or anything. He just, same entry, same guillotine, same result. And that's why you get 30-27 in your debut.
Yeah, so we got Gravely -250. He looked very good, very, very strong for the weight class. He's a jack dude for bantamweight. But Oliveira, we weren't too high on him to begin with, so I don't know if – can we really read much off of this win?
No, Gravely seemed like a steep test for anybody in their debut. Like, he's had some really good wins in the UFC. Like, he's a legit, you know, like he beat Anthony Burchak and, like, took it to him. He beat Geraldo de Freitas. He was going to beat Nate Maness. Like, he was really close to beating Nate Maness. I think people forget that, like, he had, like, a really great regional career before he got to the UFC, where he, like, KO'd Chris Moutinho, the guy who Sean O'Malley, like, couldn't put out. Like, that dude put him out cold while he was going for a leg lock. It was insane. So he's had a really great career already and is a tough dude. So, yeah, like, not a good guy for Oliveira to be debuting against.
Yep, no doubt. So we hit minus 250. Yeah, well, we're good at hitting the big ones, aren't we? We whiffed on a underdog in the next one. This was a disappointing outcome. The fight was wild and fun, but we missed on Gennaro Valdez at plus 155. You told me, Dan, that he's a smart fighter and the Contender Series was just the just an exception when he was a wild man. But no, he was a wild man last night. Matt Frivola knocked him down maybe five or six times before finally the fight finally got stopped. Only 3 minutes in, 3:15 in. That was a wild fight.
I think this is one of those cases of a guy who had a result and then convinced himself that he's good enough to fight that way all the time. See Gabriel Gonzaga knocking out Mirko Krokop and then believing he's a head kicker or he's a kickboxer in any regard. This felt that like that for Valdez, who's always been a good wrestler and good at jiu-jitsu. He goes on Contender Series, tries to impress with his boxing, wins by KO, but not in like a great fight. And then I think he thinks he's a boxer now, and he's not. He needed to wrestle in this fight, and he didn't even attempt to. So, yeah, good for Favola. He looked good doing what he needed to do in there.
And he's a good guy. If you heard him last week in Dan's podcast, he's a fun guy also. So it's okay if the nice guy wins once in a while and we lose on our picks. So that concluded the prelims. We'll hit you off with the two early prelims where they relegated the women, which is very chauvinistic of the UFC. But first of all, Sobat, since when did sports betting become so rigid? Sports betting is meant to be social. When I picture betting, I picture bootleggers with mustaches tossing bets around in a speakeasy. Sobat is taking the social lineage of betting, putting a modern twist on it by providing a modern platform. Sobat is changing the game with their new product. Head over to Sobat.io and create an account to see for yourself. Through their fully functioning and free web application, you can access a demo of their app, which will launch next fall. The app includes consensus lines from Vegas, a feed of what other people are betting on, and the ability to send friendly wagers to anyone you know via text, QR codes, and links, among other methods. No money is transacted on the app, and it is purely competitive. Next time you're with your friends watching sports, turn the dial up a notch. Go to SoBet.io and see who can hit the most ridiculous bets. Users have the ability to place bets off Vegas odds or generate a bet by changing any metric they want, as long as somebody is on the other side to accept. Let's get back to the roots of betting with SoBet. Go to SoBet.io/SGPN. That's SOBET.io/SGPN today to join the revolution. Did someone say SGPN? Yes, I did. Speaking of SGPN, grab our app. We're in the App Store or Google Play, if you rather. The app gives you easy access to all their picks and all the podcasts drop there. You can listen to them there. You can get reminders when they drop there. Just in case you're not on the MMA Gambling Podcast feed, which you should be by now, so you can get us in your ears the second the podcast drops. You'll get a reminder on there when we have a new episode. So grab the app. Oh, and the bosses are already always giving away prizes and money and whatnot. So you can get that on the app too. So grab the app. Give us an awesome app review. Rinse, repeat. Actually, do the same for the MMA Gambling Podcast. If you love the podcast, we know lots of you do. If you could give us an amazing review and rating on Apple or wherever you listen to it, that would help keep the lights on in the studio, as the expression goes. All right, early prelims. The aforementioned Vanessa Demopoulos, we pretty much said everything about that fight. Got her hand raised, jumped in Joe Rogan's arms, talked about learning her moves, being an exotic dancer. One via submission. Gomez Juarez, probably bye-bye, since I like to fire people on this podcast. She's probably gone.
I mean, like, our first fight was short notice. This one does seem bad, but yeah. And I said this when they hired
her. Maybe not.
Lupita Godinez, I didn't have her as a favorite to win on her Contender Series fight. You know, she was scheduled for the Contender Series. They needed an opponent for Lupita Godinez. They pulled her from the Contender Series, which was going to be on Tuesday, and got her to fight Saturday. So they basically bumped her up 3 days. I was like, she wasn't even the right one to take. Like, I was going to tell you guys on Sunday that I thought she'd lose. And she's lost two in a row. So they might give her one more because she, you know, had a tough first fight. But and she did knock Vanessa Demopoulos down with a big right hand. And Demopoulos even admitted she was pretty much out. So, yeah, I think she might get one more. But at the same time, yeah, I don't need to see her again.
But getting pulled off the contender series made her $2,000 more per fight because she's 12 grand instead of 10. So it worked well for her. And then anything else to say about Demopoulos? She's just a fun fighter,
needs,
I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Good jujitsu. Probably needs to work on her boxing a little bit. But yeah, that, you know, all good.
Yep. But we hit that one at, what did we get that? Minus 139. So that was a pretty good payout for that one. And then in the opener, we missed this one. I should have stuck with Jasmine Jasudavicius. They were saying Jazdavicius. They were skipping the U. I don't think that's correct. I think it's Jasudavicius. Is it not, Dan?
Man, I do wish I could tell you.
Yeah, you know, Canada's own from fairly close to me, St. Catharines, came out to the great 70s and 80s Canadian band Trooper song. What's your favorite Trooper song, Dan?
I didn't know Trooper was a band.
Okay, fine. Anyhow, should she be on your list of prospects that you're excited about on the Contender Series? Because she looked very good against Kay Hansen last night. Using her length, she was way bigger than Kay Hansen, and obviously using her grappling, which is what she's known for. 30-27, 29-28, 29-28. Should we be – I know she's in her 30s, so she's not like a super young prospect. Should we be intrigued about her at flyweight?
I'm more intrigued than I was previously because I did think she was going to get beat here. But ultimately, like I think you mentioned it, like she was way bigger than Kay Hansen. And yeah. I originally thought Kay Hansen's physicality would play at 125 pounds. Yeah. I thought the weight cut was probably not going well for her at 15, and this might be a good move. And she's already announced on Twitter that she is going back to 115. So, I mean, like, Jasmine beat a woman who was fighting out of her weight class and did so largely by being bigger. So while I was impressed with what I saw and she did look good, I still think in order for me to say, like, I'm in on her and I think she's the real deal. Like, I need to see her fight somebody her size, you know?
Dan's anti-Canadian once again. So that wrapped up the card. Dan went 6-5. I went 5-6. We both lost money. I lost three times more than Dan, though. And on the year, we're both 11-10. Aren't we great, Dan? And we're both down money. Dan's down $67 less than me. That's if we bet $100 in every fight on the card, which is not the preferred way to play. The preferred way to play is to take our recommended plays, preferred plays, whatever you want to call it. Dan went 3-0 last night. $40 on Morales to win outright. $30 on Ngannou to win outright. $30 on Gravely to win outright. Got Dan $65.57 back on the $100 that you gambled there.
Love it, and that puts me in the positive for the year as well.
It does, it does. I only had two picks actually play out because the Vieira via submission was one of my picks. I gained via decision. I almost hit that it came much closer than possible, and then +300 would indicate. But I lost that one, and then Vieira I had money on, which didn't happen. But the bulk of my money, $50, was on Jack Della Maddalena to win, so that got me $14.29, but I lost $20 on game, so I was down about $6. So overall, I am 3-2 in recommended play, so right at my 60% rate, which I like to be at for picking every fight, up $31, 18% return on investment. Dan, 4-2, 67% hit rate. He's up $31.57. He's up 40 cents over me. But his return on investment is only 16% because you've gambled more than I have one more fight than me. So anyhow, we're doing all right. 18 and 16% return on investments, you can't sneeze at that.
So I like how you added return on investment, which you've never used before. Because
no way, I always do.
Now plays into you leaving for one thing because you're losing. You're losing on the total money. You're losing. Well, you're tied in picks. You're losing on the recommended play picks. You're losing on the recommended play money. So you're like, well, we'll add return on investment because by a technicality, I'm ahead.
spin. Well, that's really not the real reason. The real reason is usually we have the exact same amount of money gambled, so it's pointless. Plus, we're always in the negative. So I don't want to say, hey, for the year, I'm down -5%, Dan, and you're down -4%. overall. Does that sound good? No, it does not. So it's all about Spin and Dan. All right, so pretty fun card. Good pay-per-view to start off the year. Any other closing remarks on that card, Dan, before we move on?
No, I will say this. I'm kind of baffled that Sed Nurmagomedov wound up with the bonus there.
Oh, yes.
You know, we didn't talk too much about bonuses. I think we kind of mentioned that Vanessa Demopoulos got one. Figueiredo versus Moreno was, like, the very obvious pick for Fight of the Night. Right. Although Victor Henry, Raoni Barcelos could have been Fight of the Night, and I wouldn't have batted an eyelash. Like, that was fun to watch, too. But, like, yeah, either of those fights. But then, you know, to pass up Matt Frivola knocking down Gennaro Valdez that many times, to pass up Jack Della Maddalena with that just vicious knockout of Pete Rodriguez, passing up on Michael Morales, like taking it to Trevin Giles in his debut, and then giving it to Sed Nurmagomedov, just that one seemed off. I'm glad Demopoulos got it, but yeah, that one seemed off.
Yeah, it's true. But yes, thank you for bringing up bonuses. I forgot to do that. All right, so UFC is taking another break. They're being very lazy this year. They're taking a break next week. Back on the 5th, back at the UFC Apex, main event, Jack Hermansson versus Sean Thomas Strickland. Why am I saying all three of his names? Because that's what you do when with serial killers and mass murderers, correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Because you don't want the innocent people being fingered. So from now on, he will be known as Sean Thomas Strickland, even though Dan says it's just an act. He's not really a sociopath or a psychopath.
Yeah, I do think it's an act. Also, you know, you mentioned that this next weekend we have a break. We do have some fights that we will probably break down between Eagle FC, which is Khabib's owned promotion. There's a good Bellator card coming on. And I will also tell you that this is the last UFC break we have until April 2nd. There's a fight card in every weekend of February, in every weekend in March, in actually all but one weekend in April. So we actually only have through May 14th, just one more weekend off, and it's April 2nd. So you're going to get a lot of UFC content coming at you soon.
And that's what keeps the lights on, Dan. So that's good. I was going to mention the events next weekend, which we'll at least partially cover and give you some picks on Wednesday. We got Eagle FC, like Dan said. It's not Syed's cousin. It's a different guy, Khabib Nurmagomedov, his promotion. This is their UFC debut, I believe, right?
The United States debut, yes.
Yeah. Sorry, not UFC. U.S. of A debut in Florida. Tyron Spong versus Sergey Karatonov in the main event. Spong used to be like an exciting MMA guy. I'm disappointed that didn't really pan out for him.
Yeah.
I had high hopes.
I mean, like, he's still undefeated, but it's like a weird weird that he decided to not fight in MMA anymore. But I guess he had a very talented kickboxing career, so.
Yes, he did. Yes, that's what he's mostly known for, is the kickboxing, but he is fighting Sergey Karatonov in the main event. And then the rest of the card, as we mentioned last week, it's full of names you will have known, such as Rashad Evans, Ray Borg, John Howard, Anthony Njoku, Jurgen De Castro. So, yeah, lots of fights there. So I'll have Dan let me know. We'll do it off air for a change instead of on air. I'll let him have him let me know what fights he wants to break down on Wednesday and give you picks. There's already odds posted for this, which is good. So we'll give you some picks for that fight card. And then we've got, as Dan said, Bellator for the heavyweight champion. Actually, Eagle FC, the main event, the heavyweight title fight, heavyweight fight. UFC was heavyweight title fight. Bellator is going to be a heavyweight title fight as well. Theirs is on Saturday from Phoenix. We got Ryan Bader versus Valentin Moldovsky. So we got another title unification, just like the UFC. Bader is the official champ, but he has not fought at heavyweight since 2019 because he was at light heavyweight, because he was a double champ and he was in the Grand Prix and a bunch of stuff like that. And then in the meantime, Moldovsky has won the interim championship. So we got that fight to break down. We've got Benson Henderson on the card, Henry Corrales, Darian Caldwell, Enrique Barzola, Said Awad. So it's a pretty decent card as Bellator goes. And the big tuna, of course, Ben Parrish. So We'll have some picks for that fight card for you too. And odds for that also are posted. Did you see that, Dan? There's actually Bellator odds posted in advance.
I did see that. I saw Big Tuna was an underdog, and I looked up the guy who he's fighting, and well, there's a reason he's an underdog.
Oh, okay. Too bad. Too bad. Well, we love us some Big Tuna, but that's too bad. So we will break down some of those fights for you on Wednesday. Any other thing? We got Tata fight announced that we expected to be announced. Glover Teixeira is going to defend his title for the first time at UFC 274, and it's going to be against Yuri Prochaska. What do you think the odds are, Dan, on that fight? It just dropped, or I just dropped last night, the odds.
I'm going to say Yuri -185.
Oh, -180. I think Dan saw the odds.
Ooh, I did not. Look at that.
Good job. Good job. And that's probably about right, but we'll break that down when we actually get to that fight night. Anything else we need to mention, Mr. Vreeland?
No, I think you got it all.
All right. I sure did. I exposed all of Dan's foibles on this real or imagined. I exposed them all. So thank you for listening. Make sure you listen again on Wednesday when we drop. In the meantime, you can read our stuff, sportsgamblingpodcast.com and MMA-manifesto.com. You can listen to Dan's. I guess your podcast probably won't drop before the next one, so I'm not going to hype your podcast, Dan. But you can follow us on Twitter. You can always do that. Jeff Fox, writer, and he is Gumby Vreeland. I'll take us home. I am the blonde fighter, Jeff Fox, despite not being blonde nor a fighter. He is Gumby Vreeland, and we will catch you again on Wednesday. Bye-bye.